1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth, the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, in your mercy, help us to hear your word to us and to understand what you have to say to us. And when it's difficult, help us to hear what you're enabling us to hear in the moment you're enabling us to hear it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm now curious how many of you will go off to lunch and have chicken. That has nothing to do with the sermon. I mean, it does, but anyway. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So related to that, we're going to talk about one specific piece of mental health stuff, trauma triggers. Trauma triggers, this is not a clinical definition. This is just from my experience. You're just minding your own business, and all of a sudden something happens that triggers you, and bam, you're spinning off into a spiral. Happened to me once when I was sitting in a classroom and the professor did something that to anyone else probably would have been a little bit annoying, but for me, I was just, my brain was gone for the rest of the class. I remember nothing from that class except for that thing that happened and the fact that I never sat close enough for the professor to do that again. That was a trigger for me. And that's one example of, you're minding your own business and all of a sudden, wham. So why are we talking about this? Right. We'll get to why we're talking about that in a minute. What happens is you got the part of your brain called the limbic system. They call it the lizard brain because it does all of the things that lizards do. Fight, flight, or freeze, or fawn, or whatever. It's not particularly suited for higher logic and stuff like that. That's just the part of your body that's part of your brain that's set to get you out of trouble quickly. So if you get triggered, your limbic system will snap, and you're not thinking rationally or logically. You're thinking, how do I get out of this situation? How do I fix this? Just like, and your brain turns into like a little hamster wheel with smoke coming off of it. So examples of things that could be triggers. Well, originally you have trauma. It's something that happened that caused your brain to go into fight or flight or freeze or fawn or any of the other reactions that are just, we're gonna panic right now, go into panic mode. That is your original trauma, and what can happen is you get a trigger. Like the time of the year that someone died can be a trigger, or if one of the things that was traumatic for you was like a war or something, if you hear a loud noise, you might just lock down. Or someone doing something that takes you back into that moment, like what that professor did. Or Mother's Day. Since it's Mental Health Awareness Month and Mother's Day at the same time. That can be an example of something that might trigger people to just lock down and just do anything and everything to get out of that situation. Okay, next question. Can the Bible be a trigger? I'm afraid that the answer is yes, at least for some people. I heard a story once about someone whose parent did some horrible things to her while quoting the Lord's Prayer. Can you imagine the Lord's Prayer being a trigger? But that's a thing that can happen. People can re-experience something traumatic. Just about anything could be a trigger. And for some people, it can be the Bible. Awkwardly, for me as a pastor, some parts of the Bible are triggering for me. And we're going to talk about some of those because they came up in the lectionary. My dad was, I would say, abusive. One of the pieces of that was the children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right business. That verse showed up, and it turns out that if you're using that in that particular way, anything that your parent says becomes a command from God. Can you imagine? Anything your parent says is a command from God. That was my life. So, when I came across this morning's lectionary passage, as I started my research, there's children obey your parents in the Lord. 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we are the children of God when we love God and, there it is, obey God's commandments. So, of course, the sirens started going off in my brain. The lockdown starts a little bit. Not like serious trigger, but, you know, on the scale of triggers, it wasn't super high, but it was there because I've spent a good amount of time in therapy. 1 John 5:3, the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. Wait, you're saying love and obedience are tied in together? Maybe for somebody else in this church building, that seems fine and normal and okay, that obedience is tied to love. But for me, that is red alert there. The other gospel reading was no better. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So if I don't obey, then I'm not abiding in love, in God and Jesus' love. That's kind of scary for me, especially for someone who love may have been somewhat contingent on obedience. Parental love, I believe, should be fairly unconditional, especially if the person you're supposed to be loving is your kid. Anyway, that's my trauma. Jesus, for John 15:14, you're my friends if you do what I command you. And I read that and I was like, are you serious? Do you not understand how friendship works? Like, anybody remember being a kid and your friend saying that they're going to, if you don't do things the way they want you to, they're going to take their toys and go home? Like, Jesus, do you realize that's what you sound like right now? So, I don't know. There's probably, I'm sure there's value, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is profitable for reproof, correction, training in righteousness. It's inspired by God. But when I read that, I get the trauma trigger. I'm just minding my own business, and it happens that triggers me, and wham, I'm in a spiral. But look here. This is the lectionary passage for, I don't expect people in the congregation or even live streaming will be able to read this, but this is the 1 John passage. The green stuff is the stuff that doesn't trigger me. The purple stuff is the stuff that did. Here's the John passage. Green, not triggering. Purple, a little bit triggering. See how much that is? It's like maybe 10% of the entire text. Maybe 15. Maybe 15. And that part is like, it's the part of the Bible that I can't consume right now in a healthy way. Almost like a bone or something. So I'm like chewing around it and gnawing on it, except that I didn't chew around it. I just kind of gnawed on it all week. Just try to get something digestible out of it. This is not to say that it's not valuable or helpful or inspired. It is all of those things. It's just hard for me to digest it right now. And I don't know if I'm the only one, but no, I know I'm not the only one. I know at least one other person who's had this problem where you come to the Bible and there's all of this goodness, and then there's one part that you just read and you go, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't jive with what I understand God to be like. It is causing me problems. And instead of focusing on the stuff that, you know, that's going to provide your soul nutrition, you just gnaw on that bone. You just gnaw on it. I want to go back to a quote from Augustine that I've loved ever since I heard it. He said, "So everyone who thinks that he's understood, or she, the divine scripture, or any part of them, but can't by this understanding build up the double love of God and neighbor, that person has not yet succeeded in understanding them." So when I read the purple part, that's not building up my love of God and neighbor. At least when I'm reading it and just gnawing on it, I'm not figuring it out. Sometimes I've had really difficult passages that after I've worked on it for a while, I think one took me a whole semester, I can find some incredible truth and beauty and value in it, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But sometimes you're just chewing on it and it's not doing anything good for your soul. So I spent most of this week gnawing on the stuff that didn't help me and wasn't growing me to be love God and my neighbor more. Again, there is a time and place for gnawing on the stuff that's just confusing you. I actually even called a friend. We talked for about 45 minutes and he helped me sort of get less irritated by it, but it was hard. And by Wednesday night, which was the last, I'm off Fridays now, by Wednesday night, I didn't have a sermon. And then I was like, wait, it's Mental Health Awareness Sunday, or Mental Health Awareness Month, I could do that. So started thinking and talking about, okay, started thinking about triggers, and yeah, got thinking on that. Why am I not, no. But if I hadn't gotten stuck, which dubious because trauma triggers don't care that you have to write a sermon, but if I hadn't gotten stuck, I might have noticed the stuff around it, that really healthy, helpful stuff that I could digest if it was this invisible chicken bone, that I could digest, could chew that off, get nourishment for my soul from. John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. There have been books written on just those four words, abide in my love. Jesus says, abide in my love. And I could have picked that up if I hadn't got triggered. John 15:12, this is my commandment. Remember, he talks about his commandments, and if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The commandment is love one another. Oh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. We could have gotten that if I'd sat with that for a minute. John 15:15, Jesus says, I don't call you servants. The servant doesn't know what the master's doing, but I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything I've learned from my Father, that we're not servants, we're friends. One of the things that, speaking of friends, my friend who I called told me was that in the context of God or Jesus as king, everyone has to obey the king, right? But in this context, Jesus is saying that whoever obeys the king is the king's friend. That's kind of an upgrade for everybody else, right? I'm still iffy on the power differential, but the king is God, so there's always going to be a power differential anyway. But this is useful. This is good. This is stuff that will nourish your soul if you don't spend your entire devotional time chewing on that bone that you can't try to figure out what's going on with it. 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. That's good stuff. It's good stuff I didn't spend a lot of time meditating on because I was chewing on that bone. The point of it being to be aware of your triggers, if that's a thing. Therapy is fantastic. If you find yourself spiraling, sometimes you can talk to a therapist, try to get work through that. That's a thing that I keep telling myself I'm going to start therapy again. But I recommend it. And if part of scripture triggers you, or sometimes if you just get stuck on something that's not working for you, maybe chew on it a while, maybe pray for guidance as you're trying to digest it into your soul. But then maybe chew on something else that's going to nourish you. I got this from a former field ed pastor. I was telling him I had a hard time reading the Bible devotionally. And he says, well, maybe just, is there anything in the Bible that's good for you that when you read it, you're just like, yes, I'm feeling like I'm connecting with God when I'm reading that. He's like, well, read that. Don't read the parts that bug you. Maybe you can work your way up to that once you've built up your faith enough to read that stuff. I thought that's good advice. And that actually helped a lot. Maybe chew on something that is going to nourish you. Again, not to say highlight the parts that you like and ignore the rest, but it's in process. It's faith in process to get to the point where eventually your soul is able to take nourishment even from the stuff that maybe wouldn't have a few years earlier. Speaking of nourishment, still curious how many of you are having chicken for lunch. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the good, for the truth, for the value that you put in your word that you use to teach us. We give you thanks for your Holy Spirit helping us to get value out of parts that maybe were difficult for us even a few years ago. We give you thanks for your word and for your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.